Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nurturees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Courage Method. How to Overcome Depression for Men by Dylan Martinson is a self-help and mental health guide focused on male depression, trauma recovery, and emotional resilience. The book is positioned for men who feel isolated by depression, anxiety, chronic stress, or the pressure to appear unaffected by pain. Martinson writes from personal experience rather than from the standpoint of a licensed clinician, presenting a framework he developed after a long struggle with depression, trauma, and suicidal despair. Its purpose is practical and corrective to challenge the silence around male mental health, while offering tools for reclaiming stability, clarity, and purpose. The book combines personal testimony, holistic lifestyle guidance, emotional skill building, and direct language about courage and self-mastery. Rather than treating depression only as a mood problem, it frames it as connected to suppressed pain, unresolved trauma, social expectations, physical health, relationships, and daily habits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, male depression is treated as a hidden crisis shaped by stigma and emotional suppression. A central concern of the Courage Method is the way male depression can remain concealed behind expectations of toughness, silence, and self-reliance. Martinson presents depression not simply as sadness, but as a condition often intensified when men are trained to suppress pain instead of examine it. This emphasis matters because many men may delay seeking help, avoid discussing trauma, or interpret emotional distress as personal failure. The book attempts to disrupt that pattern by naming the social pressures that can make depression harder to recognize and harder to address. Its focus on men is not just a marketing category, it shapes the method itself. The language is direct, confrontational, and aimed at readers who may resist conventional therapeutic framing. By treating stigma as part of the problem, the book broadens recovery beyond symptom management. It suggests that healing requires permission to acknowledge pain, identify its origins, and reject the idea that silence is strength. This framing gives the book a distinct place among male mental health guides, especially for readers who need an entry point that feels candid rather than clinical. Secondly, not as a psychologist or medical expert, this distinction is important for understanding both the appeal and the limits of the book. Its credibility comes from lived experience, practical experimentation, and the attempt to translate recovery into steps that other men can apply. For readers who feel alienated by clinical language, this approach may feel more accessible and less intimidating. The author describes a path from despair toward clarity, strength, and purpose, using that personal arc as the foundation for the book's framework. At the same time, the book should be read as a self-help resource, rather than a substitute for diagnosis, therapy, crisis intervention, or medical care. Its value lies in making recovery feel possible and actionable, particularly for men who have felt alone or misunderstood. The strength of this perspective is relatability. The limitation is that personal experience cannot account for every form of depression or trauma. The most responsible reading is to treat the method as a supportive framework that can complement, rather than replace, professional help when needed. Thirdly, courage and emotional intelligence are presented as mechanisms for self-mastery. The Courage Method uses courage not as a vague virtue, but as the active willingness to face distress, examine painful experiences, and take responsibility for change. Martinson connects this with emotional intelligence, suggesting that men need more than endurance. They need the ability to understand what they feel, why they feel it, and how those emotions shape behavior. This creates a bridge between trauma recovery and self-mastery. The book appears to frame healing as an inner journey in which the reader confronts fear, shame, anger, grief, and avoidance rather than continuing to live around them. The emphasis on self-mastery distinguishes the book from resources that focus only on reducing symptoms. Martinson also addresses the desire for purpose and authentic happiness, implying that recovery is not complete if a man merely functions while remaining disconnected from what he wants. The reasoning behind this approach is that depression can narrow agency, reduce clarity, and create repetitive negative thinking. Courage becomes the initiating force that allows a man to act despite pain, while emotional intelligence provides the awareness needed to act with direction rather than impulse. Fourthly, lifestyle structure, nutrition, and relationships are treated as part of recovery. The book presents recovery as holistic, meaning it includes the body, environment, and social context in addition to internal reflection. Search descriptions emphasize practical tools such as a simple 2-week diet plan intended to support brain and body health, along with guidance on boundaries, toxic relationships, and supportive social circles. This practical layer is significant because depression often disrupts daily structure, appetite, sleep, energy, and decision-making. By including nutrition and relationship management, Martinson avoids presenting healing as purely mental effort. The book suggests that a man cannot easily recover while continually exposed to environments that reinforce stress, shame, or emotional depletion. And boundaries become a recovery tool because they reduce ongoing harm and create space for stability. Supportive relationships matter because isolation can deepen depression and make distorted thinking harder to challenge. The inclusion of lifestyle guidance also makes the book more concrete than purely reflective self-help. However, these tools should be understood as supportive practices, not guaranteed cures. Their practical value is strongest when readers use them to create consistency, reduce avoidable stressors, and reconnect with basic habits that depression often weakens. Lastly, its anti-passivity message is useful, but requires careful medical interpretation. The courage method strongly emphasizes action, work, and personal responsibility in the recovery process. That can be helpful for readers who feel trapped, passive, or resigned to depression as a permanent identity. Martinson appears to encourage men to participate actively in their own healing by changing habits, confronting trauma, improving emotional awareness, and seeking healthier relationships. This anti-passivity message is one of the book's defining features. It tells readers that recovery involves effort rather than waiting for circumstances to improve on their own. At the same time, the book's natural and holistic positioning, including references to overcoming depression without medication, should be interpreted carefully. Depression has many causes and levels of severity, and some readers may need therapy, medication, emergency support, or coordinated medical care. A balanced view recognizes that lifestyle, courage, and self-reflection can be powerful parts of recovery without implying that medication or professional treatment are unnecessary for everyone. The book is most constructive when read as a guide to agency and self-support, not as a universal medical protocol. Its practical force comes from motivating action, while its safest use requires openness to additional help. In conclusion, the Courage Method is best suited for men who are struggling with depression, trauma, anxiety, emotional numbness, or the exhausting need to appear fine when they are not. It may also help readers who are not clinically depressed, but want a direct framework for emotional resilience, healthier relationships, and stronger self-command. Its practical benefits include language for naming suppressed pain, prompts for taking responsibility, guidance on boundaries, and lifestyle-oriented tools that connect mental health with the body and social environment. Intellectually, the book contributes to the growing discussion of male mental health by arguing that stigma, emotional repression, and isolation are not side issues but central barriers to recovery. Compared with many depression books, it stands out because it is written from a male survivor perspective and uses direct, action-oriented language rather than a detached clinical tone. Compared with broader self-help books, it is more specifically focused on depression, trauma, courage, and the male experience. Its most useful role is as an accessible first or companion resource for men who need practical direction and permission to stop hiding distress. Readers facing severe symptoms should treat it as supportive guidance alongside appropriate professional care. If you would like to support Dylan Martinson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.